But let's go back to the Genesis chapter 16. Start reading from verse 1.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife.
See here what the word of God is saying. After Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land. Now if you remember, when God called Abraham, Genesis chapter 12 verse 4, Abraham was 75 years old. So the 75 and 10 more years is what? 85 years old. Now Abraham is 85 years old. And last week, if you remember, God talked to Abraham and he says, from your own body, you will have your own son. At that time, God did not tell Abraham, Sarah and you together will have a son. He just said, from your own body. Now he comes to Sarah and maybe try to discuss, because she knew Abraham took sacrifice to God. And she might have said, what God said to you? And he said, I had a conversation with God. I said to God, you know, I need a son. Only servant I have, Eliezer. But God said, no. Eliezer is not going to be your heir, but I'm going to give you a son from your own body. Now, when he discussed with her, Sarah might be thinking, God said, you will have a son. He did not say, I will have a son. So only way I can think, there is a young lady, she is very faithful servant, and she is with us, maybe when Abraham went to Egypt, and she followed them, and that time she might be young, so they took her as a servant, and she was very faithful, just like Eliezer. So Sarah had a lot of faith in this girl, that this girl will listen to me, and this girl will bring child, and then that will be my son. If you remember, today also people adopt children sometimes before the child is born in somebody's womb. They said, okay, could you carry that child for me? And people are doing it today. So Sarah thought this will be a good idea. I mean, God says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. So I'm too old. But she knew Abraham is older than her. But I don't know, somehow she was thinking negatively about her. And she thought, if God talked to you, I'm going to help you out. And then she says to her handmaid, she might have convinced her, I'm going to propose a marriage. You're going to marry my husband. And you're going to bring a son. And that son will be my son. And they might have agreed. And when they agreed, here we see Abraham is now 85 years old. And at that time, she gives this Hagar to Abraham as his wife. And the word of God says, let's read the verse 4. Genesis 16:4.
And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes.
Now just think. Here it says, as soon as Abraham married her, she became pregnant. But didn't happen like that. Because if you read that when Abraham had the son from Hagar, Abraham was 86 years old. Now when he got married with her, 85 years old. Now how long it takes to baby to come? 9 months or 9 months, 9 days, or 9 months, 10 days, or sometimes maybe 10 months. But when we see Abraham, when he was 86 years old, then Ishmael was born. So I will start thinking. Sarah start thinking, maybe I'm not having children, so go with Hagar. Now, he married to Hagar. First month, nothing happened. Second month, nothing happened. Third month, nothing happened. So, at that particular time, Abraham didn't get any idea. Sarah didn't get any idea why this young girl did not pregnant right away. God gave some time in between to think, is this the girl, or why this is happening? Why she did not become pregnant within the same week? Maybe somebody will say, okay, there's a period in between. Maybe 2 weeks period. Why it happened whole year? Only elephant, when they're pregnant, they carry the baby for a whole year. But the girls or the ladies, they don't carry baby for 1 year. If they do, then something is wrong. So here the word of God is saying, when Abraham was 86 years, we'll be learning that later on. 86 years old, and that's the time the baby was born. But here we see this girl was faithful, obedient, serving them faithfully, and as soon as she got pregnant, her idea changes. Let's read the verse 5.
And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee.
The girl was waiting until she got pregnant. First 3-4 months, she didn't say anything. As soon as she started thinking, now the baby is moving, I am pregnant for sure, then she started hating Sarah. She is not her boss anymore. I am the boss. Now I am the one God blessed. You are not. So you should be my servant, not I am your servant, something like that. And they were having fighting and war. Now Sarah is saying, you know what? I made a mistake. She said, I'm wrong. I made a mistake giving my servant to you. And she said, that wrong should be upon you now. Now somebody said, how come? She made a mistake. He didn't ask. And why she is saying you made a mistake? Now you see, if somebody wants to kill his wife or somebody else and he gets the hitman. Now he gets the hitman has to agree with him and get certain amount of money to kill that person. So now who is guilty? When the hitman, they find out, they find him a guilty. But at the same time, who is more guilty? The person who gave the order to kill. Now here she said, I gave you order to go with her. I am guilty, but you are more guilty that you went with her. Now you take care of her. Now Abraham didn't know what to say. Actually, she was saying, now she is your wife, and I am the boss here over her. Now you should go and tell her that she should listen to me. But Abraham was quiet. He didn't know what to do. He might be thinking, God bless me with a child. Now, what should I do? If I tell her to get out, and this is the God-given gift, in those days, I don't know if they had a miscarriage or not, but they would. If somebody kicked the lady in the stomach, she will have miscarriage. If the Sarah would have hit her in her stomach, baby would die. So she might say, you go and punch her, or you do whatever you want. Abraham said, you know what? You said you made a mistake, and now I made a mistake. Now I'm going to give it to you in your hand. Do whatever you want to do. Let's read the verse 6.
But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face.
Now when she got the permission from the husband, she started treating her very badly. And so we don't know how bad she was treating, maybe verbally abusing her. I don't think she kicked her or something like that. Maybe verbally she might be harassing her, and she might have saying, you know, get out of my house, and I kept you, and I fed you, and I gave you salary, and you were nice with me, and what's wrong with you now, and you are become my boss or something, get out of my house. And she might have treated her badly. And so she told her to maybe, and so get out of my house. So the lady runs away. Now the lady doesn't know what she was doing. I'm talking about Hagar. She should have said, I'm sorry, honey. I made a mistake. I start treating you wrong. But you are the Abraham's wife. I'm just the servant. This child is not mine. This child, I'm going to give it to you because that's what I promised. But she got so much proud, and she did not want to say sorry to Sarah. And so what she's doing, she's running away. This is what happened in the family. Your children, when they became older, maybe 18, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever the age, and when you talk to them and try to make some sense to them, they think they know much more than mother and father. They don't want to listen. They say, don't talk to me like this. I'm not your servant. I'm not a baby anymore. Treat me like an adult. And they fight. And sometimes if they are in a mother or father's house, then they say, if you want freedom, get out of my house. And then they say, okay, I'm going out. They don't know where they're going. They just take their bag and just go out. And they don't know what will happen when they go out. You have the story of the prodigal son. When he went out, nobody kicked him out. He went for his own. But we know how hard time he had, and he had to come back and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Dad. So here we see this lady has so much pride. She doesn't want to say, I'm sorry, but she wants to run away from home. And now here we see, God did not say, Abraham, you made a mistake. You did not ask me. You listened to Sarah and you caused the problem. Or he did not say, Sarah, did I tell you to give your servant to Abraham? God did not find any fault in Abraham or in Sarah. Why? Because this was one of the plan of God. We don't know. If God did not have the plan, then God would say to Abraham very clearly. But God said to Abraham, from you, the whole families of the world will be blessed. And so Abraham was going to have many, many more children. We know that Abraham got Ishmael and that got Isaac, and Sarah died. Abraham didn't say, okay, that's enough, Lord, I have two children. But he married another lady. In 25th chapter we say, and he got more children. God did not tell him, hey, I didn't tell you to marry other lady. But he did. So this was a plan of God to give him many, many more children. But here we see, God did not blame Sarah. God did not blame Abraham. But here we see the lady is running away from home. Let's read the verse 7.
And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai.
Now here the angel is asking her a question. And he says, Hagar, Sarah's maid. You might say, hey, somebody knows me around here in the jungle. They know that I'm running away from my boss. And she said, I know you. You are Sarah's servant. Where are you coming from? And where are you going? The two questions he asked. But the lady only replied one question, where she's coming from, but she didn't know where was she going. That's what the people do. When they run away from home, they have no destiny. They just run, say, where are you going? I don't know. And that's the way she was going. Without the aim, without the goal, if you go, you will have problems. When somebody is running to marathon or running to something, they have to have goal in their mind, where I'm going, and then they will reach that goal. But if you keep on running in circle or here and there, you have no goal. This lady didn't know where she was going. And this was not the God's will, that you should run away from your boss, run away from your responsibility. And so angel comes and asks her the question, I know you are, your name is Hagar, and you are Sarah's maid. And he says, where are you coming from, and where are you going? And now she's saying, I am running away from the face of my mistress, or face of my boss, Sarai. She told the truth. I am running from her. But she did not tell him why she was running. She should have said, you know what? I was mistreating my mistress or my boss, and that's why I got a problem. When people lose their job, they don't tell them their mistakes. They will say, my boss was bad, or my company is bad. Those people are very bad. Those are the things they will say. But they will not say, did you do any mistakes? Did you do something right? Sometimes, you know, when you clap a hand, what you need? Two hands. You cannot clap with one hand. So whatever happens, the two peoples are in fault. And so here she should have said, I said something bad to my mistress. I said something bad to my boss. And that's why I am fired. But she didn't say that. She was just saying, I'm running from her face. I don't want to see her face. And she is always bothering me. She should have said, Chichi, did she bother you from the beginning? You're her servant. She kept you. She gave you salary. And she took care of you as her own daughter. What happened? And so, here is not giving in detail, but here the angel was trying to make her sense that you are in fault. Not the Sarah, not the Abraham, you are in fault. Let's read the verse 9.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and to submit thyself under her hands.
See, when you say return to your home, return to your boss, return to Sarah, what does it mean? Return means repent, turn around, go back. You made a mistake. You have to confess. You have to say, Sarah, I'm sorry. I promise you I will give this child to you. But I changed my mind. Do you know how many people change their mind? They tell somebody, this baby is for you, and give me $10,000, $20,000, and as your baby is born, he says, hey, this is my baby. And that's what's happening. When you promise somebody something, you keep your word. And so the angel means God only sends the angel, and whatever angel says, what God says, the angel says. When you listen somewhere, I will multiply thy seed, then say, hey, angel has so much power, that has to be God. When God says something, that's what the angel says. Angels are messenger. Angel cannot put anything or add anything. You remember that John's father was praying and the angel of the Lord came and said, you will having a son. He said, how come? I'm old man. He said, okay, I'll make you mute. And how much power that angel had to make him mute. Why? Because he might have talked to God before he came. If Zechariah doesn't believe, then what should I say? He said, make him mute. So this is already done. So the angel is telling her, first of all, he asked her, where are you coming from? Where are you going? She said, I'm running away from Sarah's face. Okay, but you don't know where you're going. So he said, okay, return back where you came from. God would have said, okay, I'm going to protect your child. Go to Egypt. You came from Egypt. Go to Egypt, and I will take care of your child. Then that child, nobody will know, is Abraham's son. When you run away and go somewhere, and there will she raise the son, and just think that Hagar died, and the son was orphaned, who will know that was Abraham's son? Nobody will know. In those days, there was no DNA, so nobody will know that was Abraham's son. Today, Muslim people are fighting. They're saying, we are Abraham's children. Ishmael is the firstborn of Abraham. So we have more rights than the Israeli people because their son is the secondborn. So we have rights. And this would not happen if she would have gone running away from Abraham and Sarah. That's why God says, go back. Go back where you came from. And what he says, not only going back, he says, submit thyself under her hands. Not only going back, I'm not going you giving you authority to be boss over your Sarah or mistress. God is much wiser than us. Sometimes people think, I'm big enough, I'm bigger than my mommy, I can push her and she would not have any strength. So I am strong. So she should listen to me. She should say, okay, daughter, what should I do? That doesn't work that way. He said, go back to your master and submit yourself and be under her hand. If she beats you, take beating. Whatever she said, listen to her. And so he gave her a little bit comfort. Let's read the verse 10.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude.
Now he says, this child is coming, and I am going to multiply thy seed. Now, she had only one child. We never heard that Hagar married again, or she got other children from anybody else. She just had one Ishmael, and that lady, we have to give some respect. She took care of that boy, and she never married to anybody. And she took care of him. Here somebody, when they get divorced, they're looking for a husband. If that husband gone, we're looking for a third husband. If that gone, we're looking for some husband again. I saw that other lady, she married seven husbands. And seven husbands gave her seven gold and silver and this and that. And now they have like a museum. And people come to see how many husbands she had and how much she gave. This is 21st century. She lived in sin. One after another husband she's going. In America, you don't get and go and get married right away. They have to have find out if that man likes her and she likes her. actually some of the people live in sin for before they get married. How many times they keep on sinning like that? And so here is the glorious. People never say, oh, that lady was bad. She was a great lady. She was a beautiful lady. She was marrying 7 husbands, so she got a credit. Look at the Hagar. Hagar had a 1 son. She never married. There is no record she married. But God says, I'm going to multiply your seed. Whatever the child comes from you, I'm going to multiply. I'm going to bless him. So don't be disappointed. Go back to your master and humble yourself and listen. And God is going to bless your child. Okay, let's read verse 11.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction.
See, God even told her, you are pregnant. Let me tell you. No ultrasound, no machines, nothing. But he told her ahead of time, you are going to have a son. And I'm going to name him already. And he named him his name Ishmael. And we heard that Ishmael means God heard. He says, God heard your cry. God saw your affliction. God always sees everything. If your mother or your father mistreat you, you go to God. Instead of fighting with your mother and fighting with your father, go on your knee. Or your boss is bothering you. Or the people in work, they are bothering you. How many times people complain, my boss is bothering, this is bothering you, I'm going to get a gun and I'll take care of them. And they go and kill so many people and they kill themselves. What the profit? The Bible says if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what's the benefit? If you have a problem with your boss or your problem with the people, I suggest you to go on your knees. Pray for them to change their heart. Pray that God should do some miracles. And I believe that God will change the situation. And I have seen in my life and I have seen in other people's life, and I gave them advice to do not fight with your bosses. People always say the rich people are bad. Let's get the money from rich and give it to poor. Sounds very simple, sounds very good. Now just think, I have $1 billion and everybody's after my money. And in a world, there are more than 1 billion people, right? And if I gave $1 each to 1 billion people, how many dollars I would have? $0. If I give $1 to each person and $1 billion is gone, are those people with a $1 bill going to be rich? No. Then why they are jealous about me? But if I have $1 billion and I make a factory of $1 billion, I will supply hundreds and thousands of people's food. But people don't get that. They say, give me rich people's money. You don't know what you're going to do with a dollar. People are saying, tax rich people more. Take their money and give it to us. If I have $1 billion and I said, okay, you want to tax me more? You want to take my money more? I close my factory. I don't want to work. I have enough money for myself. What government is going to do? But people who are working for that company and factory, they are the one going to suffer. So what is the point? Point is you go to God. Don't be jealous about somebody's money. Don't be saying, somebody has to give it to me in a platter. Work hard. And then the word of Bible says, if you don't work, don't eat. It sounds so cruel. But it's true. Now in America, everybody wants to give it to in my platter. And when government gives to you certain amount of money, you don't look for a job. Extend my unemployment. Extend it. How long? 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 1.5 year, 2 years, or some lifetime. So what? I don't have to work. And somebody says, you know what? I'm not going to look for a job until my unemployment check is finished. So that's what we are trying to tell people. Steal from government. Get it. I say, work. I can say, if you give me a dollar, just a dollar, and tell me, multiply that dollar, I will multiply that dollar. My daddy gave me 1 rupee. That's not even dollar. $1 means 50 rupees. I got it, and I made 5 to 10,000 rupees within 2 to 3 weeks. And I tell people, you want money? What are you going to do? Put your money in business. If you eat everything, all your seed, you will feel be begging. And so the point I'm making, the word of God is saying, you do not fight with the bosses. You do not fight with your higher authorities. You don't fight with the government. People are picketing and going to the bankers here and there, and our city has to pay $1 million to remove the trash. That is not the right thing to do. If all these 100,000 people start doing, let's go to the one farm and start digging and start working, and there is no, we are saying this, Mexican people are coming and working. Let's go to the farms and say, hey, we are 10,000 people. We don't have a job. Can we work in your farm? You can make money. You will have profit. Don't just sit around and fight. So that's what the Hagar was doing. Hey, now I'm pregnant. Sarah, could you wash the dishes? Now I'm pregnant. Sarah, could you massage my feet? This is what we do. Jesus Christ said, the master do not say to servant, thank you for working for me. Servant goes, works, and cooks and gives food, but the master doesn't say thank you. In America, we say thank you to everybody. But originally, if you hire somebody to do the work, they did their job. So he said, we should be saying the same thing, Lord. We didn't do anything. Whatever you told us, that also we didn't do right. So we are not saying, I'm doing best. The word of God says, well done, my servant, when you do humbly. We cannot boss around. This lady might be bossing around. So the angel says, go back. But let me tell you, you are pregnant. You have a son. You are going to name him Ishmael, because God hears the affliction of the people. When people are suffering, they say, nobody knows my suffering. I'm the only one suffering. What God says, I know your suffering. Compare your suffering with Christ. Let's read the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
The joy was set before him. What was joy of his, Jesus Christ? I am going to redeem the mankind, and they are going to worship the Lord, and they are going to glorify God, and that's what his goal was. So he was looking for the goal that I'm going to go to cross, I'm going to forgive these people, I'm going to redeem these people, and this is the job God has given to me, and I'm going to finish it. And on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. He did it joyfully. Verse 3.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
So consider. Whom? Jesus. See, look at Jesus. He suffered for us. He didn't commit any sin. I heard some people say, if I didn't do any wrong, I will never say I'm sorry. Or I'm never going to admit that I'm guilty. Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. And the word of God says his mouth was shut. He did not argue. Just like he said, the sheep going for slaughter and they don't make noise. Did you see any time the people taking the wool out of from sheep? So when they do, you never saw the sheep say, ah! They don't cry. So he said Jesus Christ was quiet, dying on the cross. People were accusing him. He did not say, hey, I didn't do anything. I'm dying for you. Don't you understand? I came here to die for you. And so I'm dying. That's what God told me to do. I'm doing it willingly. And still people don't understand me. Did he say that? No. He just kept quiet. So he said, when he's suffering, you see, then you compare with suffering with your suffering, then you will be not fainting in your mind. We are thinking, oh, I'm going through and nobody knows. This is a horrible thing I'm going through. And sometimes you create your own problems. And then you blame others or God. But the God says, I'm watching you. I heard you. I see you. You cannot hide from God. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 it says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and naked to his eyes. You cannot say, Lord, where are you? And I'm suffering and you don't see it. I say, when you have a problem, what you do? Go on your knees and say, Lord, why this happened to me? What should I do? He will guide you. He will teach you. He will never say, you did something wrong. See, I told you, Abraham made a mistake. Sarah made a mistake. Abraham made so many mistakes. Last week we saw Abraham made a mistake. God did not complain and say, you did something wrong. The prostitute was caught in the prostitute act. They brought it to Jesus. What Jesus says? I do not condemn you. Why? Jesus was giving permission to go and be prostitute again? No, because when you did something wrong, you know it already. You are already condemned. I don't want to condemn you. You already know that you made a mistake. So what he's saying? I let you go. Go in peace. Sin no more. That's what he's saying. Now he said, you know what? You are running away. Go back. You are going to have a son. The son will be blessed. His children will be many. But you go back. Genesis 16:11.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.
See, angel already prophesied. What's going to happen? He will be wild man. Do you know that Cain became a wild man, running away from God? So that's the way Ishmael will be. He will be wild man. And then he says, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hands against will be with him. But he will be living in the presence of his brethren. Now, do you see any time Muslim people, when they come to America or any country, they live in a group? All the Muslim people will be in a Muslim colony. So they live in the presence of that, all the Muslim people in one area. So all those Muslims are together. And he says, you will be fighting with other, every man, and the every man will be fighting with you. Isn't it true today? All the Al-Qaeda going after every nation, and every nation against all these Muslims. So all this prophecy is fulfilled. Every man is against Muslim, and Muslims are against every person. And if somebody says Muslims are the peaceful people, they are wrong. And they will always make trouble because Bible says so. They will be fighting. There will be no peace. They will be like a wild person. And they have wild animal, you know, they are not trained. The wild animal is vicious animal. So he said, you will be like a wild man. And that's what the problem is. Let's read the verse 13.
And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael.
Now here, Hagar come to know, God is watching over me, he hears me, he sees me, and so she was very pleased that God is concerned about me. God is concerned about everyone in the world. That's why the word of God says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that God loves Muslims? Yes, he does. If he doesn't, then the Muslim will not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Today, hundreds and thousands of Muslims seeing the visions and coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Other day, I saw in 700 Club, there was a one Muslim lady. She said when she was born, and she had a questions. She was reading the Quran, and her mother had the stick. And she is telling her to read the Quran. And she reading the Quran, and Quran she read, the ladies will not go to heaven. All Muslim ladies, there is no heaven for them. So she started asking, Mommy, if I'm not going to go to heaven, then what is my reason in this world? So they start beating her and this and that, but finally she married a doctor, Muslim doctor, and she thought maybe he will keep me safe. And that man start giving her so much problem, and then she didn't know what to do. And then somehow she, it's a long story, but somehow she found Jesus. When she found Jesus, and Jesus says, Oh, heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. She said, I didn't know that was a Bible scripture. And she said she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And now she knows, now Jesus Christ died for me. All the ladies, we are all equal in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord loves the Muslim, he loves Hindus, he loves everybody. That's what the word of God says, go and preach. Say, how can they hear without a preacher? It is our responsibility to go and preach. Well, we should not say, Lord, zap all the Muslims, zap all the Hindus, zap everybody. Then we have nothing to do, nothing to preach. So here the word of God is saying, God love Hagar. God love Ishmael. And do you know, Ishmael, if you will be studying a little bit more, Ishmael worshiped Jehovah God. Ishmael worshiped Jehovah. Esau, Jacob's another brother, he worshiped Jehovah God. And what happened? Far after Jesus' death, there is another man came and he said, Hey, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter. That's me. And he says, Comforter will give you comfort, right? But he took the sword and started killing others. It's not comforting. So that was not a right prophecy. He did not understand. He just took the form. Jesus said, I'm going to send the comforter. That's me. But actually, he started doing opposite. And he told the people, we don't want to worship the Jehovah God. That's Israeli God. We want to worship our own God. And he gave the name a different name. And now Christian people say, oh, Muslims, we are the same. They worship the God, one God, we worship one God. The Hindu people worshiping God. Their God and our God is not the same. Hindu worship, Hindu idols and everything. Is their God and our God is same? Muslim worship another God, and that God and our God is not the same. And so the point I'm making God loves everybody, and God says, I'm going to bless the Ishmael if you go and see, read a little bit more. Let's read the verse 16. We're going to finish it. Genesis 16:16.
And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram.
Now see, 86 years old, then Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. So that means Ishmael did not come right away. It took a time. At that particular time, if Abraham would have said, you know what, God, is 4 months past, 6 months past, or 3 months past, and I'm not getting a son. Hey, Sarah, are you sure that God told you to give this Hagar to me? And I didn't ask God, I'm sorry, I don't want this Hagar. Hagar, you better be servant, and Sarah, you should be my wife. He had a chance, but didn't do. Why? This was a plan of God. Otherwise, Abraham would not be marrying Hagar. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You know the future, but we do not know the future. So we keep ourselves in your hand. Guide us, lead us, and give us grace and compassion. We want to serve you in our job, in our house, in our church, or wherever you have given us the ministry. Let us be faithful, and you're going to bless us, and you're going to multiply us, and you're going to supply our needs. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.